Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Kuf Gimel. We're getting very close to the end over here of Maseches Erevin. We left off in daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Three Mishnahs and Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We're at the third Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Beis, which is going to discuss repairing strings in musical instruments in the Beis Hamikdash. We then are going to move on to discuss the issue of removing warts. The next Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph is going to talk about removing warts and is going to give a method of removal that would be to do in the Mikdash, but again, not in the Medina. We continue along this theme of things that you could do in the Mikdash and not in the Medina, based on the concept of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. The majority of the daf, though, really works on four different approaches to make our Mishnah work with the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. So this serves as a bit of a bridge also between here and Maseches Pesachim, where the Mishnah Pesachim does not allow wart removal even in the Mikdash. So we're going to have four different mahalchim as to how to reconcile that with our Mishnah Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about bandaging a wound on Shabbos, and that's going to lead to a detailed discussion of chatzitza. When a Kohen has a bandage, is that going to be a chatzitza for his big day kuhuna, for the avoda? And we're going to get into a discussion of chatzitza in general. So let's begin with the Mishnah Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Mishnah tells us, kosher nima b'migdash avalo b'medina. We can tie a harp string in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Medina. If it snapped, it came loose on Shabbos, so one is allowed to tie it in Mikdash, but not in Medina. Why are we allowed to tie it in Mikdash? So says Rashi, "B'gemara mefarish time with the kesaver machshire mitzvah shalohay yochla asos meat molda yom nifska." Doches a Shabbos, that any machshiri mitzvah, anything you need to do to enable a mitzvah that you could not have taken care of before Shabbos, much like Rabbi Lazar holds machshiri mila are doches Shabbos, so this is something that could not have been taken care of before Shabbos because the instrument just broke on Shabbos, and therefore it's doches Shabbos. You're allowed to violate a malacha to fix it on Shabbos. The af al gav the kesher av malachahu b'mesecha Shabbos, even though kosher is an av malacha, tying a knot is an av malacha, we allow violating an av malacha for the sake of machshire mitzvah. But v'im b'tchila kan v'kan aser. But if you're just making, you're stringing up the instrument in the first place, it's not a situation where you're repairing something that broke, well then it was obviously efshalas osamer of Shabbos. You could have decided to make your instrument whenever you wanted to make your instrument. Why are you making your instrument on Shabbos? And therefore, it may not be done on Shabbos. Now, it's important to, when looking at this Mishnah and this sugya, to recall a sugya in Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah, Daf Nun Amud Beis, has a machlokas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim about whether Iker Shira Bekli or Iker Shira Bepeh. When the Levim did the Shira at the time of the Karbanos HaTzibur, is the primary mitzvah of Shira the playing of the musical instruments, or is the primary mitzvah of Shira the singing that they did? If you say Iker Shira Bekli, it turns out that the music played with the Kalim is considered one of the avodos that they do in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, just like the Karban is Docha Shabbos, like a Karban Tamid would be Docha Shabbos, so the Shira Bekli that accompanies the Karban, the Karban Tamid would also be Docha Shabbos, because it's part of the avoda, Iker Shira Bekli. The Chacham, however, hold Iker Shira Bepeh, and that which they play musical instruments, that's only in order levase masakol, that's to make it nicer, to make the singing sound nicer. But the music that they play with the instruments is not considered one of the avodos that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore should not be Docha Shabbos. So Tosos in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Nun Amud Beis points out that the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa that we're about to see that allows tying a bow, only tying a bow to repair a string, must hold like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that Iker Shira Bekli. Because the whole machlokas is only in terms of how to tie the string to fix the kli. But if machshire mitzvah docha Shabbos, I mean, the whole machlokas about tying is whether machshire mitzvah docha Shabbos or not docha Shabbos. But it sounds like the shir itself would definitely be docha Shabbos, and must be that they hold Iker Shira Bekli. It's considered an avoda. It's Docha Shabbos. And the Tikkun HaKli, to enable the Shir, is Machshire Mitzvah. And that's why the whole Machlokas is about Machshire Mitzvah. But if we were to say Iker Shir Bepeh, no one would allow tying the string to repair the musical instrument on Shabbos, because the Kli HaShir themselves are not Docha Tocha Shabbos. You're not allowed, the whole idea is not Tocha Shabbos, so it's not possible that to say that the Machshirim would be Tocha Shabbos as well. So that's how the Baal Yatos point out that our Sugya must be assuming Iker Shira B'Kli. However, the Me'iri suggests that even if you say Iker Shira B'Peh, it could be that being Mesakin the Kelim, being Mesakin the musical instruments, is still going to be Tocha Shabbos. That even with a Kesher Gemurah and Av Malacha Da'oraisa of Kosher, still going to be Mutar on Shabbos. How in the world could that be the case if even playing musical instruments shouldn't be Docha Shabbos, is not the Ikar Avoda? So the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva and Or Chaim Simon Chafei Sifkat Ches explains within the Shittas HaRambam that even if you hold Ikar Shir Bapeh, there is still a mitzvah to use musical instruments. It's just that the Kli is not Ma'akev if you do the Shira without a Kli. If they just sing and they don't have musical instruments, it wouldn't be Ma'akev. But they at least need the ability to use musical accompaniment. And if they don't use musical accompaniment, then it's still going to be kosher. But if they don't even have the ability to have musical accompaniment, if they don't even have the ability to use instruments, then it would be kolaroi labila ein bila ma'akevespo. That it would be possible, just like when we say by the bila, the karban mincha, that sometimes you don't need the actual, you don't need to actually do the action itself, but you need the potential to do it. So that's how the Mandi Yomar of Iker Shira Bepeh would view the Kalim. That the Kalim, the musical instruments, you don't need to actually use them. Iker Shira is Bepeh. But you need the ability to use the Kalim. So the Rambam holds that even though the Halacha, Iker Shira is Bepeh, if a strand breaks on Shabbos, on the harp, you're allowed to tie it even with a Kesher Shel Kayama, because it's going to be Ma'akev the entire Shira. If you don't tie it with a Kesher Shel Kayama, then you don't even have the ability to play musical instruments, and that's going to be Ma'akev the entire Shira. Says the Brisa, now says the Gemara, rather, or Minhu, Nimas Kino Shenivsika Loaya Koshra Ela Onva. We have a Brisa that says against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if the string snaps, you can tie it, sounds like a regular Kesher. The Brisa says, no, can't tie it with regular Kesher Ela Onva. You can only tie it with a bow. So the Gemara gives five answers to deal with this, with this Stira. Now it happens to be Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Archaim Simshin Yud Zayin that Litzorcha Mitzvah you're allowed to tie in a Kesher She'eno Shel Kayama even L'Chadchila, and the Shulchan Aruch also says that a Kesher that's Asur Lahatir Ad Shivas Yamin, that any Kesher that is not meant to last a full week is the definition of a Kesher She'eno Shel Kayama. So Litzorcha Mitzvah you're allowed to tie a Kesher She'eno Shel Kayama, definition of a Kesher She'eno Shel Kayama, something that's going to last less than a week. So asks Rabbi Kiveger, according to the Bir Alacha in Siman Shin Yud Zayin, why does the Tan of the Brisa hold that it's usher to tie the harp string, even if the Alacha is Litzorach Mitzvah, you're allowed to tie a Kesher Sheinu Shel Kayama? Simple Eitzah. Tie a Kesher and untie it within 7 days. Tie it now so you'll be able to use the harp on Shabbos, and you'll untie it within 7 days. It will be a Kesher She'eno Shel Kayama, and it's a Tzarech Mitzvah, so it will be permissible. Why would you have to dafka bione if you'd have to dafka tie a bow? So Bir Alacha says that Kasha is only a Kasha if you assume that the Geder of Kesher Shel Kayama and Eino Kesher Shel Kayama is based on what a person's intentions, what his plans are, in terms of how long it's going to last. That if he wants it to last forever, that's a Kesher Shel Kayama. If he doesn't want it to last forever, then it's a Kesher, or it doesn't want it to last 7 days, then it's Kesher Sheinu Shel Kayama. But says the Bir Alacha, it's not mistaver that that's the geder of what's Kesher Shel Kayama and Kesher Sheinu Shel Kayama. Bepashtus, it's not talui on his das, it's talui in the derech ha'olam. Meaning, ein hachinami, this number of 7 days matters, but the 7 days is not what I plan to do for 7 days. The 7 days is what is normal, what is the kind of knot that normally people would leave for 7 days. If it's the kind of knot people would normally leave for 7 days, that is a Kesher Shel Kayama. So therefore, this Kasher Rebbe Kiveger is not a Kasher, says the Bir Alacha. What are you going to do? You're going to tie the harp string and say, oh, I'll make sure to untie it within 7 days. But normally when someone ties the harp string with a real knot, he doesn't untie it within 7 days, he leaves it there for a much longer period of time. Therefore, it's a Kesher Shel Kayama. So there's no heter Mutter, Litzorich Mitzvah, Litzayi Kesher Shal Kayama. That's why it's not an option over here. So again, back to our Stira. Our Mishnah said you're even allowed to tie a Kesher Shal Kayama. Bryce says you can only tie a bow, but you cannot tie a knot to repair the string in the musical instrument on Shabbos. So five approaches to answer the kasha. Says Gemara, first, lo kasha, harabanan, harabi Eliezer. Le Rabbi Eliezer, da makshir mitzvah dochenes Shabbos kosher. Rabbi Eliezer holds that makshir mitzvah are doches Shabbos, so then you can tie it, because this is makshir mitzvah. Le Rabbanan damri ein dochen onva. According to the Rabbanan, that makshir mitzvah are not doches Shabbos, then you tie a bow. So frankly, Gemara, I Rabbi Eliezer, I feel l'chalchil nami. But wait a second. If we're assuming, like Rabbi Eliezer, if the Mishnah, which allows tying, follows Rabbi Eliezer, then it should even be allowed to do l'chadchila, but the Mishnah says explicitly, v'im b'tchila kan v'kan aser, that if you're just making it l'chadchila, then it's going to be aser. So that answer doesn't work. So rather we go with a second possible answer. Elo lo kasha, HaRab Yehuda v'HaRabbanan. The Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that tying a bow is no different than tying a knot on Shabbos. We've already seen Shitz Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that tying a bow is a violation of Kesher Mida Oraisa. So our Mishnah says you might as well tie a knot, because a bow is not going to be any better than tying a knot. Whereas the Braisa assumes, like the Rabbanan, who hold that it's mutter to tie a bow on Shabbos. So says Gemara, but wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda liba deman. Who would Rabbi Yehuda be assuming like in allowing tying both a bow and a knot for the sake of fixing the musical instrument? Presumably, he's assuming like Rabbi Eliezer that Machshirim Mitzvah Docha Shabbos. That's why you're allowed to tie the bow or the knot, whichever you want, but the knot is even better. That's why you're allowed to tie the knot in order to fix the musical instrument. But if he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, then we're back to the same kasha we had with the first Teretz, that if our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that tying a bow is the same as tying a knot, and you're allowed to do both because Machshirei Mitzvah Docha Shabbos, well, if you're allowed to do both, you should even be allowed to do both L'chadchila. But the Mishnah says, Vim b'tchila kan v'kan aser, that L'chadchila you're not allowed to do it. So answer number two does not work either. Answers number three, four, and five do work. So the Gemara says, Ella lo kasha, Har Rabbi Shimon, Har Rabbanan. Third answer is, Braisa follows Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Levim can only tie a bow on Shabbos when a harp string snaps, as we're about to see. The Mishnah follows Rabbanan, who holds you can even do Malacha Daraisa to repair a broken harp string. You could even do a kesher, a real kesher, to repair a broken harp string. Where do we see this machlokes? Titania ben Levi shenifsika lo nima bekinar kosher. If you have a Levi who a string snaps in his harp, so you can tie it. Rabbi Shimon Omer onva. Rabbi Shimon says he should only tie a bow. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer af yena mashmasa sakol al mashal shem nata v'korich min lamal al mashal shem lamal v'korich min lamata. He gives a different eight. So he says, you know, you could tie a bow, but it's not going to work. It's not going to make a nice sound. So he says a better way to fix it is by moving the string around a little bit and then winding it together, and that will allow for a better sound. That's just stominates. But the real machlokas that we were focused on is the first two deos, whether tying a bow is all you're allowed to do, or you're even allowed to tie a knot. That's the machlokas between our Mishnah and the Braisa. V'yisema, fourth possible explanation of the machlokas, hava harabanan. V'lokasha, kan be'emtza, kan minatzad. The Mishnah is speaking about a string that snaps in the middle, and therefore it has to be tied if it's going to make any sound at all. Bryce is speaking about a string that snaps at the end, where tying a bow should be enough to fix it. So the issue is, you can do whatever it takes to fix it. Sometimes a bow is enough, sometimes a bow is not enough to fix it. Fifth possible answer, v'ibay seima, havaha be'emtza, mar sover gazrinon, umar sover lo gazrinon. The Bryce of follows Rabbi Shimon and holds we make a gazera against tying a regular knot even when the string snapped in the middle, lest we tie it even when it snaps at the end. The Mishnah follows the Rabbanan, who hold that there's no such gezeira, and therefore you're allowed to tie a regular knot when the string snaps in the middle. We're not worried that when it snaps at the end that you're also going to want to tie a regular knot. Okay, that is the fixing of the strings in the Beis Hamikdash. Next Mishnah, Chotchin Yabeles B'Migdash Avalo B'Medina. We can cut off a wart in the Migdash, but again, not in the Medina. Vim b'kli kan v'kan aser. But if you're using a kli, then you can't do it in the Mikdash or in the Medina. Cut off a wart from what? From who? So this is a machlokas rishonim. Rashi and the Rov Rishonim say we're talking about an animal that has a wart on it. The wart is a mum, and therefore, as long as it has that wart, it's not ro'i to be used for a carbon tamid, which is docha Shabbos, for the carbon tzibur, which is docha Shabbos. So you're allowed to remove that wart on Shabbos. The Rambam says, and the Meiri says, the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, that we're talking about a wart that's on the Kohen who wants to do the Avodah, and it passels him from the Avodah. So it's not about the animal, it's about removing a wart from a Kohen. Tosfos Rid raises an interesting kasha based on a little bit of a bekiyas from Maseches Bechoros. So in our sugya, we see that as long as the yabelis is there, this behema, let's assume like Rashi, the behema is going to be possible to use for a karban. So what do? Cut it off, and that will make the animal fine for a karban. But in Maseches Bechoros, on Daf Mem and Beis, the Gemara says that a yabelis on the basar, on the flesh of the animal, doesn't possible at all unless it's there's bone in that yabeles. When there's bone, then it's a mum kavua, and cutting it off won't help. So he says, what kind of wort are we talking about? Mimanavshach. If it's yabeles in the basar, then you're allowed to bring it as is. You don't need to cut it off. And if it's on the etzem, so then cutting it off isn't going to help. It's considered a mum kavua, where cutting it off won't help. So a little bekiyas, Maseches Bechoros, to ask such a kasha, that's the kasha of the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos writes that we're talking about a yabeles sheba'ayin, that the Tosfos in Bechoros says that our sugi must be talking about that it's in the eye, and there's no sayar, and the Gemara over there says that ain't shochtin ala lo b'migdash v'lo b'medina, but apparently that is a type of wart that is removable. So it's not in the basar, it's not in the etzem, it's in the eye. But in b'kli, our Mishnah says, kan v'kan aser. If you're removing it b'kli, it's aser. Why? So Rashi says to cut off the abels of the kli is an av malacha of gozes es hatzemer, that it's like shearing the wool off of a sheep. Cutting off the abeles is just like shearing. There are other rishonim that say that it's a tolda of gozes, but somehow related to gozes. The Taz in Aruch Chaim is in Mishin Lamed Vav, and the side of the Shulchan Aruch says that a person has to be careful not to remove skin on Shabbos. If let's say he has a little bit of loose skin, to try to pull the rest off, to remove some skin on Shabbos, if a person's skin is peeling from a sunburn or whatever, so a person should not remove the skin on Shabbos because, says the Taz, you'd expect him to say gozes, right? We're talking about removing yabelas from the skin. That's gozes. Says the Taz, no, because a person is mechuber lekarka, person is hukash lekarka, and when a person, the Bir Lach points out what the Taz is probably trying to say is that therefore it's considered oker davar migidulo. It's tolesh, which is kotzer, it's a melach of kotzer. That just like you're not allowed to pull an apple off the tree, you're not allowed to pull some skin off of one's body. Does not sound like Rashi. Sounds very different than Rashi. Rashi says the issue is an issue of gozes. The Rashash points out that the Isser over here could be an Isser of Chovel, but he says he doesn't find it at all likely that it's gozes. Rashi is a Rishon, but he finds it very difficult to understand how this could be gozes. Mlach of gozes is when you have something that's like wool of a sheep, where when you're gozes, it grows back like it was before. The fingernail, hair, but by basar and or which are not gadol mechadash, it heals itself, but it doesn't replenish itself constantly, meaning it's not always growing. It's not tzemer, something you just leave and it will continue to grow. Once the skin is healed, it doesn't just continue to grow. It actually sort of does, because we keep shedding our skin and it keeps replacing it, but on the visible level, that doesn't happen, and therefore it doesn't seem to be gozes at all, says the Rashash. Furthermore, says the Rashash, Tosfos Masechet Shabbos writes, when it comes to kotzer, that it's not a melacha when you don't need the davar aniktzer. It's when you don't need the item that you're cutting off, that's not kotzer. So the same is probably true by gozes, that it's not gozes if the thing that you're taking off is not something that you need. So you're pulling off the wart not because you need the wart. So that's the discussion that a lot of the achronim have. How do we ever have removal of a wart that's not a melach shein tzricha legufa? By definition, lechara, it should always be a melach shein tzricha legufa, because you never really need it. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara, Uramina, we have a stira. Hirkivo v'ava'asu mechutz l'tchum. V'chatichos yabelto, Ein dochin, Rabbi Eliezer Omer dochin. That the Brisa says that it's also the Brisa says rather that the ein dochin that the that cutting off the wart on Shabbos, even though this seems it's not a Brisa, it's a Mishnah rather. The Mishnah Pesachim Daf Samachay that even though Rabbi Eliezer allows cutting off a wart, Tanakama says it's aser. Even in the Mikdash, just like you're not allowed to carry the animal through Rosh Hasharabim or bring it from outside the Tchum, it's Aser even in the Mikdash. That's the Stira. Our Mishnah says that you're allowed to cut off a wart in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to suggest four answers how to reconcile our Mishnah in Erevin with the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim that Aser is cutting off the wart. First, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Chadam, Rahava, Belacha, Velokasha, Kan Biyad, Kan Bikli. So one approach is, Kan Biyad, Kan Bikli. Our Mishnah is talking about removing the wart by hand, that's only Asamid Rabbanan. The Mishnah Pesachim is talking about removing it with a Kli, that's Asamid Raisa. The Chadam, the other Shita says, Hava Biyad, now everyone's talking about removing it by hand, Velokasha, Habalacha, Habiyavesha. That the Mishnah Pesachim is about removing a moist wart, that's Asamid Raisa. Our Mishnah is about removing a dry wart, which is only Aser Midrabanan. So the Mandi Amar Habiyad Habakli, if you say that the difference between the two Mishnayos is whether you're removing it by hand or by Kli, that the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about removing it with a Kli, my time Elohim or Habalach Habiyavesha, what was wrong with the other approach that our Mishnah is talking about a dry wart and the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about a moist wart? Samalcha Yavesha Afilu Bekli Namishari. Because a dry wart, it would even be mutter to do Bekli, and our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do a Bekli. So if our Mishnah was really about a dry wart, it should have been totally mutter. Our Mishnah should not have asked using a Kli. My time, Ifrucha Yifrucha, because it just crumbles off. So you'd be allowed to use a Kli. Ulamandi Amar Habalach of Abi Yavesha, my time alone or Habiyad Habakli. What about the other day that said that the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Pesachim was whether it was moist or dry, that our Mishnah was about a dry wart and Pesachim was about a moist wart? What's wrong with the answer of Habiyad Habikli to say that our Mishnah is talking about removing it by hand and the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about removing it by Kli? Samar Lecha, Bikli Hatanan, in Bikli Kan Vekan Aser. Well, it already says Beferish in our Mishnah that Bikli it's Aser. V'idach Hadiktani Hasa, meaning it's already explicit in our Mishnah. So what are you going to say? That our Mishnah is talking about Biyad. The Mishnah Pesachim is talking about Bikli, and that's why the Mishnah Pesachim says that it's Aser. Well, then what's the Mishnah Pesachim saying that our Mishnah didn't already say? Yeah, our Mishnah starts off by saying, Biyad, you're allowed to remove it. But then our Mishnah goes on to say, Bikli, you're not allowed to remove it. So what's the Mishnah Pesachim teaching me? That you're not allowed to remove it, Bikli? It already says so in our Mishnah. The Idach, the other guy would respond, no. Hadik Tani Hasan, Mishum Tekabaya Fluger Blazer Rabbanan. The Chiddush of having the Mishnah Pesachim is to teach us the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. The Idach, and the other Shita would respond, Dumyu Dahir Kivo Vahavasu Michutz L'Tchum Katani Drabanan. It's something similar to the other examples that the Mishnah gives over there, like bringing it from outside the Tchum or carrying it through Rosh Hasharabim, which is also only midrabanan. V'idach Hirkiva Delok Rabbi Nasan Damar Achai Nosin Esatzmo Havasu Michutz L'Tchum Rabbi Kiva Damar Tchum Dar Reisa. He'll say that being marked the animal, carrying the animal, that's Delok Rabbi Nasan. And that's to tell me not like Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan holds a chai no se esatzmo. So maybe we assume not like Rabbi Nassan, and therefore it is a melacha daraisa. And bringing it outside the tchum may also be daraisa. Don't tell me that both of the other examples that the Mishnah Pesachim gives of what you're doing with the animal are examples of violations of dinim derabanan. They might be violations of dinim daraisa. Carrying an animal is only an issur derabanan if you assume hachai no se esatzmo, that a living thing is always considered to be carrying itself. If you don't assume hachai no se esatzmo, then it's an issur daraisa. Taking something from outside the tchum, we assume, is an issur derabanan if you assume, like the Rov Deos in the Talmud Bavli, that tchum Shabbos is a din derabanan. But if you assume, like Rabbi Akiva, that tchum Shabbos of Alpayim Am is a din daraisa, then carrying from outside the tchum is a din daraisa. Masav Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Lozer Kal V'chomer, Umashchi Toshi Mishum Malacha, Dochas HaShabbos, Elu Shum Mishum Shavos, Einu Din Shirchas HaShabbos. Rav Yosef rejects the idea that the Mishum Rishon Pesachim is talking about removing a word in a way that's Nisa D'Oraisa. Again, that was the whole idea over here. This whole approach is Habalacha, Habi Yevesha, is that the Mishnah and Pesachim is talking about removing a moist word, that's Nisa D'Oraisa. And that's what we're trying to say, that look, the other examples of the Mishnah and Pesachim might also be Dinim D'Oraisa. But Rav Yosef says, no, it can't be that it's talking about removing it in a way that's Nisa D'Oraisa, because Rabbi Lazar specifically in that Mishnah refers to a wart removal that's a shvus. In that very same Mishnah, he says we're talking about wart removal that's a shvus, so it's clearly only talking about Nisa D'Rabbanan. So that's why this second approach to be miyashiv the Mishnah in Erevin with the Mishnah Pesachim, by saying that in Erevin we're talking about D'Rabbanan wart removal, and in Pesachim we're talking about D'Oraisa wart removal, that can't be. That can't be correct, because in Pesachim it says explicitly that we're talking about D'Rabbanan wart removal. So what is it? So it says Gemara, Ella Amar Rav Yosef, third answer, Hava Habi Yad. Ushvus migdash b'migdash hitiru, shvus de migdash b'medina lo hitiru. The both Mishnayos are talking about removing by hand, but a shvus migdash b'migdash, the Mishnah in Erevin, which talks about examining a regular daily carbon, where's that done? The examination of a regular daily carbon that's in the Beis HaMikdash. So to remove a wart, which is a shvus for the sake of migdash, can be done in the Mikdash. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Mishnah Pesachim talks about examining Karm Pesach. That's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And Issur D'Rabbanan that aids in Avodas HaMikdash is only mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside the Beis HaMikdash. And that's how to be Miyashev, the stira between our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to cut off the Abelis in the Mikdash, and the Mishnah in Mesachus Pesachim that says one may not cut off the Abelis in the Mikdash. Mishnah Pesachim is talking about a Karm Pesach. Pesach, it's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's not permissible. Yasav Abaye v'kamal HaShmeita, so Abaye was saying over this answer, Esver Rav Safa l'Abaye, so Rav Safa says, is that really true? Hayakari b'sefer al ha'iskofa, v'niskalgal ha'sefer miyado, golo etzlo. Person is reading from a scroll by a threshold of the house, and the other end of the scroll rolls away from him, he can roll it back. V'ahacha d'shvus t'migdash, Bimedinahu, Velo Gazri Dilma Nafal Vasilisuye. This is a Shvus de Migdash. What does this have to do with a carbon? It's not about a carbon, but Kisvei HaKodesh are a Davar Kadosh, and that's considered a Shvus de Migdash. So this is a Shvus de Migdash, and it's not being done inside the Beis Migdash, it's outside of the Beis Migdash, and still we're going to ignore any potential Issur D'Rabbanan of a Gezeira that you might drop it, the scroll entirely, and come to bring it inside. So you see that we're not even Gozer Shvus de Migdash outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So v'lo ikimna b'yiskovas karmelis, or shusram over eroslofanel, dikimna d'agidu b'yadov, afilu shvus na mileka. He says, no, this isn't even a shvus. There wouldn't even be any reason for an Issur D'Rabbanan over here, because the case was that the yiskova was a karmelis, and it has a shusram right in front of it. So what's the worst that could happen? Right now you're holding one end of the scroll, so you're doing absolutely nothing wrong by rolling it back. Let's say you drop that end, and you carried it inside. So then what would you be doing? An Issur D'Rabbanan in the first place. So we're going to make a gzeira lest you drop the scroll, and then you'll come to what? To violate Issur D'Rabbanan. So it's not even a makom, that would be gzeira l'gzeira. It's not even a makom where we would make a shvus. But in a chinami, if there was really room for a shvus over there, we would apply the shvus, we would apply an Issur D'Rabbanan, because it's outside of the Mikdash. Okay, we'll have another kasha on this rule. What about putting the Karm Pesach into an oven? So Mishalshin is a Pesach Latan im Chashecha v'ahacha d'shvus t'migdash b'medina v'lo gazrin Hashem yechata b'gechalim. We allow putting Karm Pesach in the oven on Erev Shabbos in violation of the Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiya. You're not allowed to put something up to cook right before Shabbos. That's a violation to have it cook into Shabbos unless it's can already be cooked chatzi bishulo or shlish bishulo before Shabbos. So you're not allowed to put it in right before Shabbos. A violation of Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiya. Now this is a shvus mikdash b'medina, and yet we allow doing it. It's for the sake of a karban, and we allow doing it because we allow doing this Issur D'Rabbanan because it's for the sake of the karban. But where are you doing this? You're not cooking it in the mikdash. You're cooking it in the medina. So how can you tell me that any shvus mikdash b'medina is automatically going to be aser? We see beferish that it's mutter when it comes to cooking the Karm Pesach. So Ishtik, he didn't have any response to that. So he says when he came to when Abai reported back to Rav Yosef, he said, "Rav Safra had this real bomb kasha on me. I didn't know how to deal with this kasha." I mean, Rav Yosef was the one that suggested this chiluk between a shvus mikdash b'mikdash and a shvus mikdash b'medina. Abai, the faithful Talmud, was saying over his Rebbe's Torah, and then Rav Safra says, "What are you talking about? That's against what the halacha is when it comes to cooking the Karban Pesach." So Abai said, "I don't know the answer." He runs back to the Rebbe. So he goes back to Rav Yosef and he says, Rav Safra had a real bomb kasha. So, Hachi Amalei Rav Safra. So Amalei Rav Yosef said, my time alot ha-shani lei, b'nei chaburu's reasoning. He said, well, you could have had a simple answer. You could have said, the reason that we don't make an issur d'rabbanan when it comes to cooking the Karban Pesach is that the b'nei chaburu, the people who are in the group involved in the Karban Pesach, every Karban Pesach, you need to register on the Karban Pesach. People can't just stam eat somebody's Karban Pesach. Kol dichvin yesev yivsach doesn't really work on the night of the Seder. You can't really just waltz in and eat someone's Karban Pesach. You have to be pre-registered on the Karban. That's called the Chabura. So the B'nai Chabura are going to be very careful to make sure that they're not going to make any mistakes. And therefore, we don't apply Yisurim D'Rabbanan to the B'nai Chabura. What's the purpose of Yisurim D'Rabbanan? Just in case they come to make a mistake and violate an Issa D'Araisa. Well, that's not going to be a problem over here, because the B'nai Chabura are going to be exceedingly careful. Abaye didn't think to answer that. Abaye knew the concept of Zrizenheim, but he also knew the limitations of that concept. The Abaye Kohanim's reason hein amrinan, B'nei Chabura's reason hein lo amrinan. Where do we say Zrizim hein? That's something we say about Kohanim. Who's eligible to say about them that they're Zariz? It's a Kohen who has a job of Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, who knows to take that job very seriously. Who's eligible to be B'nei Chabura? Every single member of Klal Yisrael. So you're going to say, everybody is a Zariz just because it's the Karban Pesach? So he says, no, we don't go that far. We say Kohanim's reason. We don't say that B'nei Chabura are his reason. Tosfos and Maseches Pesachim has the following kasha, though. Tosfos and Pesachim daf pehei. It sounds from our Gemara very clearly, Kohanim can be much more trusted than B'nai Chabura can be. Over there, the Gemara seems to say, Lahepech. It says that B'nai Chabura are Zrizim not to bring the Pesach, the Karban Pesach, outside of Yerushalayim and passel it by bringing the meat outside of Yerushalayim. But when it comes to Basar Kodshim, that goes Chutzl Mechitzaso, outside of the place that you're allowed to eat it, the Gemara is not sure. Maybe the Rabbanon were going are tuma on such meat, to make it tame automatically in order to discourage Kohanim from bringing the basar of the karban outside of where they're allowed to eat it. Now, why would they be gozer tuma on the meat so to discourage Kohanim? Because they don't trust the Kohanim to bring it, to keep it inside of the mechitza. So, in the Gemara in Pesachim seems to say that when it comes to B'nei Chabura, they can be trusted. They're not going to bring it outside of the mechitzas of Yerushalayim. When it comes to Kohanim and the basar of a karban, they can't be trusted, perhaps. Maybe we need to make a gzeiras tuma that they don't bring it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the kasha of Tosfos and Maseches Pesachim. So Tosfos mitarets that by the chashash of Shem Yechata, that we're talking about in our sugya, there's more of a chashash by B'nei Chabura than there are by Kohanim, because the Isser in question, is not a Karban-related Isser. It's a Shabbos-related Isser. You have an Isser every Shabbos. Now let it do Shehiyah. Shem Yechata B'Gchal, unless you stoke the coals. But when it comes to dinim that are shayach to the Karban Pesach, so then we assume that B'nei Chabura are very Zariz about it. Meaning, B'nai Chabura, and this is very logical, what are B'nai Chabura going to be very Zariz about? And B'nai Chabura could be anybody. They're very Zariz about a rare opportunity, that they get to participate in the preparation of a Karban Pesach, so that they're going to be very careful, they're going to be very exacting about the way people are careful about matzah. That's something that someone's going to be very careful about. But something that they do every single Shabbos, so there's just stam, every single Jew. How's he going to treat Shehiya? The same way he treats Shehiya every other Shabbos, which isn't anything special. So he's going to, that, for such halachos, he's not going to be so zariz. That's Tosfos's approach. Says the Gemara, fourth answer, though, to reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah Pesachim. Rava Amar Reb Lozer hi, dam machshiri mitzvah dochen es Shabbos, umodir Reb Lozer, dekamedav shol shnuye mishaninan. That the Mishnah in Erevin follows, our Mishnah follows Reb Lozer's opinion, that you could violate even Isurim da'oraisa to help out in a mitzvah. But we still recommend to use your hands, not to use a kli, when it comes to cutting off the yabelis, cutting off the wart, because even though you're allowed to violate Nisun Daraisa for the sake of Makshiri Mitzvah, if it's possible to do it in a way that's a Shinui, and it will be with equal effectiveness, you might as well do it in a way that's a Shinui. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz raises the kasha, if Rabbi Elazar is mother that Kamedev Shalashinui Mishaninon, how come the Gemara said in yesterday's daf that the Mishnah that says, or we just learned today about the Mishnah about Kosher Nima Bekinor B'Mikdash, we said that it's that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar that allows Makshira Mitzvah. You could do an Aniva. You don't have to do a Kshira. And if it Kamedev Shalashinui Mishaninon, meaning one of the ways we reconcile, we made the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis work was by saying, yeah, we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar that you're allowed to tie a knot. That's why you're allowed to tie. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Elazar, Kamedev Shalashinui Mishaninon, you have to, if there's another way to do it, you got to do the other way. So you should have to tie a bow, not a knot. So the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz points out, Kamedev Shalashinui Mishaninon doesn't mean whenever it's possible to do it in a different way, you do it in a different way. It means whenever it's possible to do it in a different way with equal effectiveness. And that's key, that you're going to accomplish the same exact thing when you do it differently. When you tie the harp string in a bow instead of a knot, it doesn't accomplish the same exact thing. It's not as good of a fix. When you're cutting off a yabelas, you're cutting off a wart, it may gross you out a little bit to use your hands rather than a kli, but it accomplishes the same exact thing. You'll make the animal not a balmum anymore. So Rav Lazar's moda, the kamedev shel shnuyim mishaninan. Ask the Gemara, maihi, where do you ever see that Rav Lazar holds a makshir mitzvah adocha Shabbos, that kamedev shel shnuyim mishaninan? Where do we ever find that that's in fact true, that if you could be Mishana, that he holds that you should be Mishana? So says Gemara, Ditanya, Kohen shall also be Yabelas, Chaveru Chod Chola Bishinov. If a Kohen has the Yabelas, so his friend should cut it off with his teeth. So Bishinovin Bekli Lo. So his friend could cut off with his teeth, but not with a Kli. And Chaveru in Ihu Lo. Only his friend can cut off the Yabelas. He himself is not allowed to cut off the Yabelas. So money, Ilim Rabbanon Ube Migdash, if we're talking about the sheet of the Rabbanon, and we're talking in the Migdash, Kivin Dami Rabbanon Bialma Mishum Shvus, Hacha Mali Hu Mali Chaveru. If the Rabbanon in general hold it's only a Shvus anyway, so why can't he do it himself? Why does he need his friend to do it? It must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar that in general you'd be chayiv chatas for cutting it off. But makshiri mitzvah docha Shabbos, so we're going to allow the person to remove it. But kamedev shel shnuyim mishaninan. But why does it have to be done by his friend? Because if you could do it with the shinui, you do it with the shinui. Says Gemara, lo, the olam rabbanan. Maybe really we're assuming like the rabbanan, the who say makshiri mitzvah are not docha in av malacha, and therefore you have a chiyuv chatos over here. So maybe we're really going like the rabbanan. The also bekreisa. So hachinami, and if the and what was our kasha by saying it was going like the rabbanon? So mali hu mali chavero. What difference does it make whether it's him or his chaver, whether it's him or somebody else? So it's got to be that maybe the difference is that if it were on a spot of his body that he has access to, that he'd be able to bite it off. So then in hachinami, he should do it. Maybe it's on the spot of his body, it's on his back, it's something that he can't reach, and that's why he needs his friend. So if we're assuming like the Rabbanan, so as Rashi explains over here, if you look lishkalei ne'alei biyad v'tifshot Rav Elazar klomer iam bishlam Rav Elazar yimushum shinui mituk mashapir kamosha mitaris lekamei. If you're going to say that it's Rav Elazar and we're doing a shinui, so then it works out great. Eliam Rabbanan v'taima debekli lo mishum demachshirin lo dochu av malacha. But if you're going to say it's the Rabbanan and the reason you can't do it with the kli is because for machshirei mitzvah you're not allowed to do an av malacha, v'Rabbanan Ashvusu de Mahadri, and the Rabbanon are just looking for a way to do it in a Rabbanon way that's not going to be an Av Malacha. Nihi de Iu Gufei, Meshani Le Deloef Shal Mishkale, de Begabohu, Chaveru Mia Lishaminon de Notlebiad, to Yadunami Shvusi. So granted, he himself has no access to get to it, to do it with the Shinoi, but let his friend at least remove it by hand, and that would still be only in a Sidra Banan. Why does his friend have to use his teeth? So it says Gemara L'Tameich, Rabbi Lazar Nami L'Shklinei L'Biyad. Well, even according to Rabbi Lazar, granted, it's he's looking for a Shinoi, but Biyad is also a Shinoi. Rabbi Lazar holds Notel Chavero is only a Shavos. So if when his friend is removing it Biyad, it's also a Shinoi. So Haimai, Iyam Bishlom Rabbi Lazar, Hainu Degozer Yad Atu Kli. Eliyam Trabbanan Hi, Nishklinei L'Biyad V'Sulomidi. So says Gemara, no, but according to Rabbi Lazar, at least it makes sense that we would make a Gezerah that you need to, you're not allowed to use your yad, lest you use a kli. But if you say like the Rabbanon, all you need to do is come up with a way that it's only the whole issue is to avoid an av malacha, that an av malacha is not going to be docha. So then you might as well have the friend remove it by hand. So again, the Gemara proves according to Rabbi Lazar, we try to minimize the isra as much as possible. How do we prove that Rabbi Lazar only minimized the isra as much as possible? Because the Braisa recommends that a kohen who has a ward on his body should have it removed by his friend biting it off. The Braisa has to be assuming like Rabbi Lazar, and he doesn't suggest taking it off by hand because it's a lesser Isser to bite it off. So that's the Raya, that it's a lesser Isser. We always go for the lesser Isser if it's possible. Had the Braisa been written by the Rabbanon, they would allow violating the Isser Rabbanon of removing it by hand. They wouldn't require having the friend remove it by teeth. So it's clearly gone like Rabbi Lazar, and you see Rabbi Lazar holds Kamadev Shal Shanuyeh Mishaninan. So that's the Raya. Last Mishnah of the day. Kohen shalaka be'etzba'o. If a Kohen has a wound on his finger, so you can tie a bandage on it, b'migdosh, but not in the Medina. Im lahotzi dam kan v'kan aser. But if his intention is lahotzi dam, he wants to draw blood out, then it's going to be aser both b'migdosh and b'medina. Now, before we get into the specifics of this case, let's talk a little bit about b'migdosh and b'medina. We could afford to fall behind a little bit. Daf Kuf Hei doesn't have an amud base. So let's talk a little bit about b'migdosh and b'medina. We have many, many issues over here of ein shvus b'migdosh, where all of these things are mutter because it's only in Issur Drabanan in the Migdash. And the Gemara that we just learned before applies this not only to Karbanos, it even applies it to Sifrei Kodesh, to your reading from the Sefer, and Skol Olal Iskofa, and we called that B'Migdash also, for Bizayim Kisvei HaKodesh. So Rashi writes in Dibur Maslul Golulat though, that even a Shvus that's Letzorech, the covet of a Sefer, is considered a Shvus Letzorech HaMigdash, because it's Kadosh. So says the Ira Kodesh VaMigdash. He says as follows, that from here it seems that Ein Shvus BaMigdash is what's the idea of Ein Shvus Migdash? Why is it that there's no Issur Drabanan in the Migdash? The reason is that because there is such a sense of Yira in the Migdash, because there's such a sense of Yiras HaMigdash, there's less of a concern that when we allow certain activities that you're going to come to violate a Din D'Oraisa. When do people violate Din D'Oraisa unwittingly? When they're not really on their game, when they're not thinking, when they're not focused. Why is it that a person brings a carbon when we do an Aver B'Shogeg? What's a carbon? The Ramban says a carbon is we're saying we view ourselves as if we should be the ones slaughtered. We should be the ones that are burnt on the Mizbeach. What, for an accident? For just making a mistake? Yeah, because when we make a mistake, it shows a lack of focus. People don't make mistakes by things that are very, very critical, very important to them, that they're really focused on. We make mistakes where we're not 100% focused. The sense of Mora Migdash is enough to deter us from making mistakes. And therefore, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. They aren't gozer a Shvus in Migdash. Now, based on this, the poskim discuss, what about Tkiyah Shofar Bizman Hazeh? What am I talking about? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, B'Mikdash are you talking about V'lo B'Medina, that they were allowed to blow in the Mikdash, but not B'Medina. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai said you could be Tokeh B'Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Beis Din. Rashi says, only Chutz L'Mikdash there goes not to blow Shofar on Shabbos, Shem Yavrenu Dalam Shram. In the Mikdash, no concern. Why no concern in the Mikdash? Mara Migdash. No one's going to come to violate anything. Says the Ira Kodesh Migdash. Turns out the reason they're not gozer Tkiyah Shofar B'Migdash, and the reason that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was gozer to be Tokeh B'Makom Sheish B'Bezdin is the same. That where there's Bezdin, there's a sense of Yira, there's a sense of Pachad when there's a Bezdin around. So you could be Tokeh even outside of the Migdash. When B'Makom Bezdin, you're not going to come to be Metaltel, the Shofar of Shusarabim. So just like in the Migdash, because of the sense of Yira Samigdash. The Rambam writes that Bizman HaMikdash, every ear that was betoch tchum Yerushalayim, that could see Yerushalayim and hear the tekiyos of Yerushalayim, they were able to come to Yerushalayim. They're allowed to be tokei shofar in their own cities as well on Shabbos. Why? Same svara, that if they're in within earshot and eyesight of Yerushalayim, there is that sense of yira that they constantly have. So based on this, why is it that we don't blow shofar bizman hazeh b'Shabbos? According to the Rambam, kedushas Yerushalayim is lo batla. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that even bizman hazeh we have kedushas Yerushalayim. So if that's the case, the reason there would be tokei shofar b'mikdash is because of kedushas Yerushalayim, like the Rambam says. It's not about the Rambam, right? It's not about the kedushas mikdash. It's about kedushas Yerushalayim. So bizman hazeh, we should be tokei b'Yerushalayim when Hashana falls on Shabbos. So the Yerukot Shemikdash writes based on the Turei Evan that once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says you should be tokei only b'makom sheish bo beis din, so then he took away the rights to be tokei b'Yerushalayim. Meaning it used to be you'd be tokei b'mikdash aval lo b'medina mishachar. Based on Mikdash, so we are only tokei b'makom sheyesh bo beis din. The takana changed that it's only makom sheyesh bo beis din. So there is a well-known maisa, the Lev HaIvri, came up with the idea in the year Tafresh Samach Dal to be tokei shofar in Yerushalayim and Rosh Hashanah of Tafresh Samach Hei, that was going to be Chal on Shabbos, and he wanted to be koveya 23 rabbanim to make up a Sanhedrin katana to blow shofar, so it will become makom sheyesh bo beis din as well. The real reason that he wanted to do it is he thought that the rabbanim were not okay the tekiya mikol v'kol, that the tekiya, there's always one place that you could be tokei even on Shabbos, either in the Mikdash or a makom sheyesh bo beis din. So he thought that they could still do it in Yerushalayim. So that was the discussion at the time. And no one else agreed. No one else thought that you could do it. Should you go to hear his, though? Meaning, if he's going to be the one that's going to take the risk to be tokeya, so should you go and try to be mekayim the mitzvah? Do you say that when someone's violating mitzvah d'rabbanan in trying to be mekayim the mitzvah d'araisa, that he doesn't even get the mitzvah d'araisa, and therefore it's not even a tekiya the mitzvah? Okay, that's a fascinating discussion, but as Shem will pick up from right after this Mishnah tomorrow.